Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Is a mess. Get your ass in here. Welcome to Fly on the Wall in the podcast where we talk about relationships. We talk about raising our little baby and recording it all for the world to see on the internet. I'm your neighborhood friendly black girl, Amber.
And I'm Ben.
And we are very, very excited because we got comedian, writer, accidental activist, Francesca Ramsey in the building today, aka Cheska Lee.
Thanks for having me.
We're very happy to have you. Question right off the bat.
Yes.
I'm tired of asking people how their day was, baby. Okay. So what I'm going to ask you is, what has been the happiest part of your day today or week?
Ooh, that's a really good question. The happiest part of my day. Well, I had a work meeting early this morning that conflicted with my personal training session, so I skipped the gym.
You skipped the gym?
I skipped the gym.
And you felt happier for it.
You know what? I am usually so consistent. And I was like, look at me sleeping in, listening to my body.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes you got to take a little day off. And there's nothing wrong with that. So
I love
it was
that.
Nice.
See, I feel like you set me up to say, like, so I canceled the work meeting. And
no, I've been on strike all year, mama.
I need to work.
The work has been canceled all year. So, yeah,
yes,
it's time to pick it back up.
Squeeze it in. There's not much left of 2023. So, got to get the work done.
Got to get the work done. Yeah, sleeping. I've been kind of on my gym session. Last week, my trainer was out of town. Mm-hmm. So, she was like, Did you do it by yourself? Absolutely not. Okay. Absolutely
That's
not.
That's not true. You went to the gym with a friend.
I went on Monday, but yes, the rest
that
of the
counts
week,
as, yes.
You but didn't. She left town on Tuesday.
It's so hard. After you've had, I mean, this is like such a bougie LA conversation, but after you've had someone there like pushing you, it's not the same by yourself.
No, I don't think it's bougie. I was a cross country runner in college and it's never been the same ever since because you have a community. I think just any community.
Yes.
I am trying to go back to this runner's club and I think that has helped me run. So, but yeah, I guess like a trainer does because they like yell at
they
you.
They always make you, they're always like, we can go a little heavier.
Yeah.
You can do, yes. you can do two more.
You just don't correct. Grow the same way for sure.
No, yeah. You won't. You will not push yourself. Or personally, I will not push myself if somebody's not there encouraging me to push myself.
But you save so much money.
Everything too.
You save so much money if you could do that. What did you say?
I wish I had that kind of push in multiple sectors of my life.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm your cook push, like when you're cooking in the kitchen, you know?
You're like, you can do two more salts.
Yes.
A little more salt.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Do I not do that for you?
You do.
But you're sometimes like, when I'm like doing internet stuff, I'm like, I need someone in my ear to say like, you can post another reel. Mm-hmm. Just post one more video.
Sometimes it's me, but it hasn't been me of late because I'm...
You're doing
busy
stuff.
Raising a little child.
We'll get priorities.
Yeah, she's a lot. We'll get there. What I do want to talk about is the first segment of our show is called Hashtag Influenced.
Is that how it goes?
It is great. You'll enjoy it when we play it back. Daniel, don't cut this. This is the part of the show where we talk about being on the internet and creating and, I don't know, sometimes even getting harassed on the internet. And I feel like our guest is more than qualified to talk about being on the internet because I was doing some research. I was already a fan, right? And I was doing some research and I think you posted your first YouTube video maybe 16 years ago.
Yeah.
What were you doing 16 years ago that said like, I got to start creating? Like, please start from the beginning.
Everyone at home is trying to do the math. They're like, how old is she? I was in college. And I got an iMac for graduation. Remember like the big egg shaped computer with the little camera. And I wanted one so bad because I really wanted to make videos. And I was still in school and I was making like hair videos. I had locks at the time.
Yeah.
And there was no influencer. There was no career YouTuber. There was no partner program. You couldn't make money. It was just making stuff for the sake of making things. So I had no idea what it would lead to, but I was part of an online community on LiveJournal called Get Up Dread Up. I was one of two black girls in a dreadlock group full of white people.
Oh.
And I was sharing like photos of my hair in the group. And so when I got my new computer, I was like, oh, I'll try making some videos of my hairstyles also. And kind of the rest was history.
So how many people were in the Get Up Dread Up group?
It was pretty big. I would say there was like at least 1,000 people.
And only two, and you were one of the two black people in that group.
And the other girl, Danielle, I'm friends with to this day. We were in the group together for years, and then we met in person when I was in New York. I want to say I was doing Decoded because I hired her to write on Decoded. She's a hilarious TV writer and has written a book and has worked on all sorts of shows. And we fostered a friendship through there, largely because we were always annoyed that, like, we would say, like, here's how we're doing our hair. And then there'd be, like, some mod who'd be like, that's actually not what you're supposed to do. And I'm like, pump your brakes.
Wait, what's a mod? I'm sorry.
Oh, they were like the moderators of the group. So there were people that were, you would submit like a post and then someone would have to approve the post and make sure that like all your code was correct. This was back in the day when you had to put HTML in your little posts.
Wow.
And there was one mod that I always bumped heads with because she was just always telling me that I wasn't doing my locks correctly. And I was like, this, you actually don't know what you're talking about.
You don't know anything that you're talking about. So essentially, like, this group gave you the inspo to not only do like natural hairstyles and lock care and things like that, but also to do shit white girls say.
Yeah, I mean, that was really like a reflection of my growing up in South Florida. I went to a performing arts school that was pretty diverse, but I went to Catholic school before that. And so I've grown up in a lot of predominantly white institutions and groups. And so I was actually home for the holidays right before I made that video. So I guess it was like the end of 2011. And Shit Girl Say had blown up that previous year. And I really wanted to make a parody, but I was worried that I was too late. And then when I was at that holiday party, I was the designated driver. I wasn't drinking. And as everyone started getting drunker, the questions, like the hair touching and like all that stuff. And I thought, oh, wait a second, maybe this is a video. So I made it when I got back to New York, top of January. And then it went super viral and completely changed my life.
Wow.
I know. It's like so surreal to even think about because it's been a little over 10 years.
Yeah.
And it was just like a totally different time in the internet. I think it has like 12 million views now, which is good. But like in TikTok numbers, like there are TikToks that get that much, you know, overnight. But
still,
for me,
no,
it was huge.
Don't settle yourself short.
Yeah. Well, that's not big. As many people were on YouTube back then as well, right? It was sort of this new, like, bizarre world.
Yeah,
right?
it really was. Because I had a few videos do well before that, but nothing that had hit a million views. So it was really huge for me and just started this global conversation about race that I was not prepared for at all.
At very, very early, I definitely want to talk about, like, obviously it's very exciting. You know, when we first went viral a couple years ago, it was like, oh my God, everybody's
I'm never going to have to teach again. I'm done. I will never have to work again.
Which is kind of
great,
like,
which is
not
so,
untrue.
Which is not true.
But it's not completely true. But I do think you immediately get excited and then you see a couple of trolls and you're like, oh, this is something I was not prepared for because
you're like,
yes, talk to us about, like, because, you know, we started getting trolls as like 30-year-olds.
Yeah.
So talk to me about like being a teenager.
Well, I wasn't a teenager. Well, I was 29.
29.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah.
Well, 12 million at 29 in the early YouTube.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was really difficult because for me, I thought I was just making a funny video about my life in South Florida. And the character that I was playing was based on a real person that I knew. And so to me, it wasn't saying like, I hate this girl or she's mean or I think she's a racist. And people were in the comments that are like, you hate white people. You're the worst. And I will say I'm still someone that like struggles with wanting to have the last word online a lot of times. And so I was in my comments. I was going back and forth with people all day long. And as you know, that's a losing battle. Like when people decide something about you.
But it makes you feel a little better though, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I
well, you'll try to clarify and then you're like, they don't care about the clarification.
They don't care. They don't care. You're never going to win. And so it was really hard. But on the flip side of it, I was really like heartened by how many people were like, I live in North Dakota and I'm the only black girl in my town and this is my life. You know, I did not expect that people were going to relate to the video in the way that they did. I mean, look, a decade plus later, people are still talking about it. People come up to me on the street and mention it and quote it.
Do you still hate white people?
Oh my God. It's actually very difficult for me to be in this space with you.
I actually do. I actually do hate white people. There's a lot of...
And you're allowed to say that.
Yeah, no, I do. I think white people as a group, they're genocidal maniacs. It's like in our tendency to be genocidal.
You said it, not me.
As long as you say it.
I think the worst part is that white people, they just love touching black people's hair. That like has not changed. It will never change.
Shaving my head was an upgrade in many ways that I was not anticipating. One being, strangers are never touching my head.
Really?
Oh my God, when I had locks, I would be on the train. My hair was very long.
Yes, it was.
I would be on the train and someone would just be like touching my hair and like there's a child here touching my hair, or sometimes a grown adult or like I'd be in a meeting. I can't tell you how many times I would be at work and I would think I was making like a really salient point and my coworker would be like, okay, but your hair.
Okay, let's talk about your hair.
Exactly. You're like,
but what about my point, girl?
Exactly.
I actually...
Wait, sorry. Go like this.
Thank you.
Oh.
That's... You know what? Don't cut it, Daniel. God damn it, you don't cut it. This Amber, is what black women
before,
do.
Before we started, Amber was giving me shit that I don't like...
Where is it?
Get her.
I told Ben I'm gonna get a tattoo on my other hand here of just like a lip print.
Yeah,
because everywhere I go, it's always that. Like there.
Yeah.
Oh, I never even knew that trick.
Yeah, she just
hell me either.
She
as
sucks
you can
on
see.
her. What is this part of their body? Like a.
It's like the webbing. Point.
The webbing. Yeah, the webbing. Our little. This is. See, we evolved. People.
Have we?
Yeah.
Have we evolved?
From
actually,
reptiles.
Don't cut any of this, Daniel. Here's the thing about it. The other, I want to say about a couple of months ago, I was at the airport and I was taking Wild to the bathroom with me. And I promise you, a white woman was behind me in line just twisting her little ringlets. And so now I'm having like-
With Wild?
Your baby's
with Wild. With Wild. Just a little old white lady, you know. And I remember being
this is where I'm like, I would cut off her hand.
You would cut off a little old white lady's hand. It is what it is.
I hate white people.
Yeah, but I remember
just
thinking
kidding.
Like this
I
is,
would not do that. That's a joke.
Like she's, you know, she's biracial, but it's like this is where it starts. Like when people ask like, when's the first time you remember someone touching your hair? I remember thinking to myself like, I'm gonna tell Wild like this happened to you at like 15 months old. Just like it's just so pretty and so fun. And I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
don't touch my baby.
I feel like there's a market for just like black dolls for white people.
They're like, who needs a doll when I can have the real thing?
They're like, you just like give them black dolls with black hair. It's like twirl this instead.
Yeah.
It's like stimulating.
I don't know. Oh my God. Yeah. It's this sense of like ownership of like all things are available for my consumption at all times. Because I don't know if this has been your experience, but there was always this moment of like if someone started touching my hair that I would have to like delicately tell them not to. Because if you dared to say to someone, I remember I had just curled my locks and they were so cute and I was at VidCon. You guys know VidCon?
Oh, yeah,
I was at VidCon. I was at a party and this woman was like, can I touch your hair? And I said, she was putting her hand out and I said, I would rather you not. And then she was like, well, then you shouldn't do all these cool things with it if you don't want. She flipped out and we're at like a conference, you know, like I'm there as talent. And I think she was like working with an agency or something. And it was this moment of like, now I have to like navigate this to make you emotions. Feel better about the fact that you can't keep your hands to yourself.
Let's, I want to switch a second because you do more like modern stuff. We're talking about the videos you made.
Yeah.
But I did see a recent video where you're talking about walking your dog.
Yes.
And that you were accosted by this man and like you were doing a similar thing of like making sure. But one of the comments described it as like women have to do mental jiu-jitsu to make sure that you don't say something. And at one point you were like, no, I don't want to hug.
Yes.
And then he flipped out at me.
Yeah, he tried, this man on the street tried to hug me. It's literally the same thing.
Yeah.
And I was trying to get out of the conversation with him because similarly, I was like, I don't know this man. I don't want him to know where I live. And, you know, he's obviously like hitting on me and I'm trying to like, you know, navigate this in a way that keeps me safe. And at one point he like reached out to hug me. And as soon as I said, like, please don't touch me, he was like, whatever, baby. And just started
you the ugliest bitch in the world. Once you tell him that.
I wanted to hug you.
And
you ain't even that fine. They love to say you ain't even that fine. You're like,
then why were you talking to me?
Let's roll the clip.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, it was really, it's unfortunate that so many of us have had that similar experience. And same with, you know, Shit White Girls Say or that video or any time that I share experiences about my life. My hope is that people feel seen and they feel affirmed. Like, sure, there's humor in it. But sometimes just knowing like, oh, I'm not going through these experiences in a vacuum and other people are. Because when it happens, it's this moment of like, it's like The Office, right? Where you're like, is anybody seeing this happening? And then there's no one around and you leave the situation thinking like, did I fuck up? Is this my fault? But then maybe hearing me or somebody else say like, this is my experience too. It's like very validating.
And that's the beautiful thing about the internet.
Yes.
And reading comments.
It's so beautiful. Like people, it'll be the most minute thing that you're like, I'm sure I'm the only person in the world that does this thing or thinks that this joke from this 1970s niche documentary is funny. And people are like, I love that one. I saw that one too. Have you ever made a video in all the years of making content that you're like, okay, they really didn't get it? Like the vast majority of the comments didn't get me or hear. Or is it typically overwhelmingly like at least the 80 to 90% like they with it?
I would say like when things go viral, it's usually 50-50 because I'm sure you've experienced this. I think the thing that people love most on the internet is telling you that you're wrong about something.
A little bit.
So, you know, maybe there's a reference that's incorrect. I'm a terrible speller. So sometimes there's like typos in my captions or something like that and people will catch them. Or, you know, I'll get someone's name wrong when I'm talking about a reference or something like that. So it definitely happens. I will say because I'm very sarcastic and sometimes I can play things really dry for comedic effect, sometimes those things don't land and I end up being like, oh, you think I'm serious. You don't see that this is a joke. So that's always really interesting. But at the same time, it's like, you know, my mother always says, don't worry if they're talking about you, worry if they stop talking. Ultimately, like, if you don't get it, that's fine. You know who I am and you are still a stranger. So you hear chiming in, even if you don't get
you're
it,
engaging.
You don't, you're engaging with the content. And for me, that's still a win.
Yeah. Don't you remember feeling like that in the early times of making content where I was like, I mean, in the very beginning, I would be, I like comedy and I like sketch. So I saw me and Ben as like, oh, this is kind of like a two-man improv show.
Right.
You're the straight man and I'm the dramatic character. So in this scene, let me go really big.
And people think it's real.
And comments being like, what a bitch wife. How dare she? You're like, well, I wrote to be
not,
the bitch.
They're
the,
not
yeah.
wrong yeah. on that account, but just for different reasons.
But the writing of it, I will also say that I think a lot of times people don't realize like you're intentionally making choices.
Right.
Like
yeah.
this is a joke. Like this is a bit. We set this up.
Yes.
I edited this together. I chose which,
like,
you
totally
know.
Even the music I chose here. And then I did a sound break.
They
that's
no
where you laugh. That's called a beat.
They have most people have no idea. And I feel like that was really revealed to me during the writer's strike because there were so many times where, you know, someone from a show would say, like, I'm on strike for this reason, and the comments would be like, that show has writers, the show is bad. It's like, yeah, everything has writers. Yes. I know it doesn't matter if you don't like it, but like the person who's introing the segment is reading material. Like the actors are not coming up with things off the top of their heads. But I also think that that's like a testament to the content being really good. And if it's really well done,
effortless,
it feels effortless. And I would say, like, full circle moment, that's why everybody thinks they can be an influencer now. Because the ones who are good,
can we talk about that?
The ones who are good, you're like, oh, I can do that. I can put a camera. I can just turn a camera on. It's like, okay, good luck. You let me know in 4 or 5 years after you have your viral moment, if you're able to stay consistent, if you're able to transition your content off of social media, if you're able to continue engaging your audience, you know, not be a one trick pony. You know, do you want to be eating weird foods your entire life on the internet? Not me.
Yeah.
I would like to do other things.
That's so true. What would you say then for the people that do want to make content and start on this path and they do have a POV, what would be the biggest pieces of advice that you would give them?
The thing that I always tell everyone is to do your homework first, to really like survey the landscape. And that's not just as an influencer. That's if you wanted to start a business or you wanted to pick up a new art form, like learn the rules before you break them. And so that also includes like looking at what other people are doing in the space, like what's working and what's not working. Where can you find a lane for yourself where you're like, there's an opportunity to say or show this thing that nobody else is doing? It's really hard for you to know that off the top of your head. You have to kind of do the legwork first. And then I would say like really hone in on what your why is. And again, not just for social media, like if your dream or your goal is to have millions of followers or make lots of money or do these things beyond your control, so to speak, it's going to be hard for you to stay motivated because there's no guarantee that you're going to go viral or get millions of followers or, you know, make billions of dollars. But if your why is telling untold stories, connecting with Black audiences, you know, making people feel seen, whatever it might be, those are things that you can control and hold on to. And I think as artists, that's really, really important because it's a long journey. You have to have so much perseverance and like a dash of DeLulu in order to keep going.
A splash of DeLulu.
Yeah, I mean, you really need it. And I think a lot of people don't realize that. They start and they're like, I've been making content for a month and I'm not viral yet.
Yes, it's
like,
y'all not sharing my stuff.
Or they get that one viral video. I think TikTok has made people a little bit even more delusional.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah.
Because you will make a single viral video. Yeah. And you think, oh, I should be making all viral videos. And then you blame it on, you know, whatever on TikTok.
I've been shadow banned. No, Bobby, your content's just bad.
Yeah, you're just not funny. You're not talented.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely cried. I've been shadow banned before.
You have. And I'm like, oh my God, just.
You're right about TikTok, like feeding into that delusion because, you know, it's Andy Warhol who famously said in the future, everyone will have 15 minutes of fame. Mm. And it's so wild that we are in that moment right now, that every single person can say, like, one time I posted this thing on TikTok and it blew up.
Yeah.
And then the reality is like you've captured lightning in a bottle.
Yep.
Trying to recreate that over and over again is a lot harder than people assume it is. And it's a little bit of luck on top of consistency and good content and really kind of striking a chord with people in a way that feels like surprising, but also something that people want to share with other people for better or for worse. Maybe you're sharing because you hate it or you're sharing because you love it, but something in the content has to compel people in that way. Otherwise, it's never going to take off.
Yeah.
That's really been a through line for your content because the content that does stand the test of time is the content that does have like, what's the why? Who is my audience? How have I been consistently engaging with my audience? Because there are things that even like viral YouTube videos that I loved as a kid, I'll go back and watch. I'm like, this is not hidden the same because cause it was that lightning in a bottle. It was that random thing. And I talk to creators all the time. They're like, well, I never get brand deals and what's going on? And I'm like, well, girl, your whole page is like Baltimore hood fights.
Right.
And I
reposted.
And I'm watching them. They are funny.
Yes.
But like, what would you sell in this way? Or it's weird trying to teach people like you kind of have to be a little bit marketable. But before that, you also just have to have a story in general to tell.
And you just have to have an authentic voice. Yeah. I think, again, that's why I tell people to do their homework, because ultimately, like, there's nothing new under the sun. But you need to find your unique lane. And to your point about like being able to be influenced or be cohesively working with brands, like your voice has to shine through. The brand has to say like, oh, I know exactly who she is. She's a mom, she's a comedian, like she's married, you know, they're doing hijinks, whatever. This makes sense that we're gonna, you know, do a mop brand deal or whatever, versus if you're doing hood fights again
in Baltimore.
No shade to doing hood fights. Like, who is your audience? Like, yeah. Who are the brands that are gonna wanna align with that? I don't know. I mean, maybe like sweat towels, like,
you better pitch it.
Deodorant or something.
Vaseline.
The NRA. They have a lot of money.
No, it was like fist hood fights.
Yeah, not like
hood
shooting.
Fights are typically with fists.
Yeah.
Gosh. I think hood fights is a great segue to our next.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Segment. Imperfect Parent.
Imperfect Parent.
Francesca, you are child-free.
Yes, I am.
Francesca. Well, you have a dog.
I do have a dog.
No, yes, you are not child-free. You have a dog.
My son.
Dogs
you
are
human child-free.
Yes.
So we would like to talk about
speciesism.
You
mm-hmm.
as a human child.
Yes.
Ben, do you have something you would like to share with
nope.
class? Go on, get it out.
I feel like you're a speciesist.
I feel like you just have to have something
you've,
to say.
You've
because,
come up against
snakes. You know, you're the white dude here, so you have to find something I have to say.
Well, I'm a minority in this situation.
Yeah.
How does it feel?
Yeah, right.
Awful.
Yes.
Terrible. I'm joking.
Tell us about your plight.
Oh, it's so hard being around two beautiful, wonderful black creatives.
Yes. Yeah, you better turn it.
Throw the compliments in there.
I know. I love you. But I do want to hear about a young, talented, right? Like, I love thinking about you like in your room with a crayon writing a script
yes.
or something.
With the Moesha theme music in
yeah,
the background.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I also, I don't think we've clarified that you went from like in like social media to traditional media.
Yes.
Like you were a writer on Comedy Central. Mm-hmm. It was like the nightly show,
yes.
right? And then you also were you on Broad City? I saw
I was
you
on
were on Broad
City.
City.
I was on like, one episode of Broad City.
So like you
hey, they ain't got to know.
No,
all
no, no,
oh,
we
sorry,
are. You
sorry.
Were on
Multiple.
Broad City.
Multiple.
No, you were on Broad City. Like you've done. So you went from yeah, and I think that's such a. I mean, a lot of. So many people want to do that. So yeah. many influencers are like, I want to be off social media. It's like once they're famous on social media, because
it's real.
We're humans, we're never satisfied. So you sort of have this nice range. Mm-hmm. I think for context sake,
of
I think
course.
That
Thank
would be.
You.
And then MTV Decoded yeah. is mm-hmm. like an online series, mm-hmm. right? So like you've done, okay. I just, yeah, for
no,
context, yeah.
Yes, thanks. Francesca.
Yeah, well, I just want to show
yes.
that I've done my research.
Okay. Right. He met the Google Doc.
Yes, he did.
Yes, I listened to a bunch of episodes on Let Me Fix It, which
yeah.
is a great podcast
Thank
that you'll
you.
Plug later. Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, so what was little you riding with a crown and
Well, I'm an only child,
yeah.
Like Wild, and I really feel like being an only child really shaped my path as an artist and a creative, because while my parents were middle class, I don't think a lot of the opportunities that I was able to pursue, I would have been able to do if I had had siblings, like going to acting camp and art camp and computer camp. I loved camp, playing piano and doing dance and just doing things. Anytime I was interested in something, I'm so fortunate that my parents said, okay, you want to try it? Like, let's
yeah.
go for it. And the only bar really was just do the best that you can do. My parents.
You have great parents.
Yeah,
oh my God.
I genuinely feel so lucky.
Are you still connected with them?
Yeah, and, my yeah. mom and I are super close. And so I realized, honestly, it wasn't until adulthood, like when I got to acting school, realizing how many of my peers were like, my parents hate that I'm in acting school, or
oh,
like, my parents want me to be a doctor, or they're always on my ass because my grades aren't great, or whatever it might be. And for me, my parents were just like, if I wasn't doing well in school, my mom was always like, now, is this the best you could do? It wasn't like, you have to bring home straight A's.
Yeah.
She was just like, I know you can do better
this
than a C.
What did your yeah. mom do? What was
My mom worked for the school board.
Okay.
She...
So she
sense.
Was involved in education.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
She knows that ain't your best.
She knew kids.
Yeah.
yeah. But I think also just when parents have educational background.
Yeah.
right? We understand what motivates, where I know so many parents who talk to their kids, because I was a teacher for 10 years mm-hmm. in a way that was not healthy and not yeah. inspiring. So like, yeah, I was.
I mean, listen, figuring. I will say, like, for all of the things that you can say about TikTok, one thing that I really appreciate is being able to hear from people of all different backgrounds. And so many teachers are on TikTok yep. talking about how they need parents to step up for their kids. Yep. And that was really eye-opening for me, just a symptom of the privilege that I had, that I've always had parents who were like, hey, the Nutcracker is in town. Let's go to see yeah. it. Hey, there's a book fair. We're going to go to it. Let's go to the museum together. And like, we're always very, my dad has always loved music. And so like when I was a baby, he would put like a tape cassette inside the laundry basket and sit me inside the laundry basket while he was doing laundry and have like music playing through the laundry basket for me. And he credits that as being why I'm musical.
You play the ukulele, right?
I play the ukulele, yeah. But I also played piano and I studied musical theater and did voice, and I thought I was going to be a musician for a minute. And my parents, but especially my dad, have always been like really pushing me to yeah. be interested in music and nurturing that. And I genuinely think that if I'd had siblings, I think they would have figured it out. But they were always able to say, like, Francesca really wants to go to this camp this summer, so I guess we go into this camp.
It's almost like your parents raised you to be a content creator, right? Like all these things, like
you're
like,
you're not helping all, my bid. I want a second child.
Oh,
today.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't maybe know.
And I'm
oh,
like, I'm really? Like,
a second. Yes. Because so you're not
for
so.
Actually all the reasons you say, because yeah. I, as a parent, well. Okay, I do take while to like museums, mm-hmm. music yeah. class. I literally was just like, oh, there's a Nutcracker Bob Baker Marionette Theater edition that's coming out, and I want to take while to that.
Yeah.
And like all these things do cost money because you're in LA. Some of the things don't cost money.
Right. Yeah.
Like hanging out in your living room, that doesn't cost money. You could do that with your baby in LA, but most yeah. of these things cost money. So I'm always like, yeah, let's get a little bit more wealth before we have another kid. So we do have these conversations very similarly.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking when you raise a kid like that, you basically do everything that you were raised in your content creation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
It's so true. Like I really use all of my creative passions and talents throughout my work. And that's something that I was never anticipated. My undergrad degree, I first went to acting school and then left acting school and got my degree. Well, I mean, I loved acting school, but the practical part of me was like, how am I going to pay my bills? I was like, so my degree's in graphic design.
Settle for the man.
And like,
betrayal.
Honestly, like when I think back to it, it's surprising to me that I was in college and I was thinking like I have to make money.
That's
like, I don't want to wait tables.
Very mature.
I'm very
yeah.
clumsy. I will be dropping food everywhere. That's not my story.
you're like, I would have been waiting tables and going to auditions.
That's like
the hustle. Yeah,
that's the hustle. Yeah. Like, and that's what they tell you in acting school. They're like, yeah. you're gonna move to New York and you're gonna be auditioning and your day job is gonna probably be like working in a bar or waiting tables because you need to be flexible in order to audition. And for me, because I was out of state and I took out all these loans, I was like, this is not going to cut it for me.
Yeah.
And I got a job working in the school of public health, like uploading files to their website. Yeah, I had like a little web background. I was like, I think this could be my job. So I studied graphic design. And while I'm not a graphic designer today, like
to differ.
Yeah, you sort of use like,
home design, yeah. like clothing design, like. Graphic design perfectly pairs well with content creation, yeah. and social
but
media,
I had
and
no
podcasting.
But yes. I had no idea. And like, yeah. YouTube came out while I was in college, and I remember making YouTube videos, and my classmates and my teachers being like, "Why are you doing this?" And I was like, "I don't know.
That's
it's fun.
Hilarious.
It's fun."
They
That's
didn't
so
get it.
Funny now.
They don't.
The idea, like, the
when
audacity.
People don't have vision, mm-mm. like you're like, "No, you got to stick with me here. This is gonna be something."
Yeah, I mean, and to be fair, I didn't know it was gonna be something. I just thought it was fun, and I missed performing, and I was doing a little bit of stand up here. here and there. But my work schedule, my school schedule was such that I couldn't do the late nights. And so for me, like making videos was like a fun compromise. Yeah. I wasn't making any money from it. I didn't know that I would get an agent or anything. It was just a creative pursuit. But to your point, I was using my graphic design skills 100%. And my skills as a producer, you know, so yeah. Now I'm a producer and I'm, you know, when it comes to Decoded, I made like a Pinterest board of what I wanted the set to look like. And I was pulling color swatches to make sure that like from the thumbnail to the costumes to like everything.
Music to my ears.
Everything. Yes.
Color swatches. We love a color
You sent me your outfit today. Yes. And I was like, got it. Purples, blues, yes. Silvers. Like yes. I love all of like the cohesiveness. And one of my favorite things is when people DM me or text me and they're like, oh, I saw this dress in the street. This is such a Fran dress. And I'm like, the yes. brand is strong.
The brand they know. Is branding.
The girls know. You see yes. a bold print. You see a shape. She loves a shape.
She loves a shape.
She loves a little
glitter.
A little glitter. Little glitter is my favorite color. Yes. So all of those things really speak to me.
You don't get it, babe. You just don't get it.
Why are they yelling?
Like, yeah. Yay. Like, I know. I'm cheering. I'm in the corner cheering.
Like, this is our colors today.
But your color scheme is matching.
Yes.
Now, why do we think that is, Rachel?
That was you.
And creative director Taylor. Shout out to Taylor.
Taylor. Yeah, we are creative
yes,
director.
Yes, I love that.
I have a great, now I know how to raise wild appropriately after this.
Yeah, yeah I mean, like, I think it's just a matter of whether your kid is artistic or sports inclined or mathematically inclined or whatever. It's just like, it sounds so basic, but just like listening to your kid. And I realize that unfortunately, so many people don't do that. They say,
no, they don't.
You don't have a choice. Yeah. Everybody in this family is a doctor. You are going to be a doctor. And like, okay, maybe you end up raising a doctor, but is that somebody who like really wants to do that? Are they going to spend their whole life unhappy? Like if you cutting open my stomach, I want you to enjoy it. Yeah. Right?
Please. Like, not like begrudgingly, like I wish I was an artist. Like,
yeah, exactly. Like I should be on stage somewhere. And so I think just like giving yourself and you know, your kid permission.
You're like cutting open the stomach. You should enjoy it. I was just like sexually, like there's a film.
No.
There's a new Cronenberg film called Crimes of the Future that came out, and okay. there's a line in there where a character says surgery is the new sex.
Oh no!
And basically, like these people perform now. Surgery. Mm-hmm. And then they like watch it, like they're watching like a live sex
no,
show.
No, I just mean if you.
I had that image in my head. Sorry, so I need to clarify.
Welcome to Big
I
was like, Brain, everybody.
You should enjoy, and I was like, I guess like the scalpel is the.
Yeah.
The phallic symbol and then the peeling and anyway, sorry.
Well, here's the thing. There are all sorts of professions that don't speak to me, but there are other people that are like, I love doing this.
I enjoy
like, I wake up every day and I'm excited to like, you know, be an electrician and help someone who's having a circuit breaker problem or whatever it might be. I just made that up. I don't know.
A circuit breaker problem.
Honestly, we just, you know, it is the fuses have to be changed inside the circuit breaker.
And they're inside there and they're like, I'm getting my whole life doing this,
and
right?
Just the problem solving,
And that's what it should, and that's what it should be. And I think, you know, maybe if you think, okay, I want my kid to be X, Y, and Z, maybe just giving them the freedom to see other things out there might end up leading them back. Because the reality is you can say, this is the thing I really want to do. And then when you start doing it, it doesn't really speak to you. It's not really...
like, let me just try it.
Just trying it.
I also love like when... I think something that frustrates parents is when their kid wants to be something like a little bit more fantastical. Mm-hmm. And even today, I'm like, no, they actually can be a witch. Like if you like from tarot readings mm-hmm. to like playing a witch in a show, like you, like there's nothing now. Like if a kid made a poster and was like, I want to be a ninja when I grow up. It's like, okay, there is a show called American Ninja Warrior and there's kids CrossFit gyms. Yeah. Like there's literally a pipeline to every single thing except for, you know, the videos that you see online where this like little white girl's like, I want to be a black woman, please. And you're like, no.
I mean, Rachel
you could create an avatar. You could play a video game starring a black character and that's, you could live out that fantasy that way. Or again, I am pushing these little black baby dolls that I'm going to start selling. You can buy one of these produced by me.
Mia has a new line of black baby dolls coming out at the middle of next year.
What the fuck? That's so fucked up and stupid.
That's very bad. The next segment of our show is called The I Do's and Don'ts of Relationships. I do. Okay. Yes. So this is your reminder that we do have the Fly on the Wallin advice hotline that we want y'all to utilize. And we have two great voicemails from that hotline today. If you don't know, remember, yes, the number is 1-833-FOTW-311.
And it's like 911. Always open.
Yes, it is. I'm trying to find a joke. Maybe Francesca can help me with the joke. It's always open. It's like the hotline is like sex with me is like a hotline. I don't know. All right. We'll move on.
She's a stand-up comedian, folks.
I know, right. My improv is a little rusty. I was like, what's always open? Legs. What's always open? Okay. But I'm very excited because I'm going to play both of these voicemails, but I have a little funny surprise after you answer one of these voicemails. So let's do them. Here is the first one.
Hello, I'm calling to get some relationship advice. I have been married for 35 years, and my husband has gotten to the point where he has become a couch potato. I extend several invitations to him to go places with me that are fun, and he chooses not to go. Should I feel some type of way about that, or should I just allow him to be himself, a recluse couch potato that watches Family Feud, The Puzzler every night, same station, same time? Should I just be content with this and carry on with my life? Or should I give him an ultimatum to at least make an effort to go with me to some of the events?
So we have a question.
Yeah.
We would like to hear from you.
Yeah.
And feel free to tell us as much or as little about dating and anything you want to say.
Well, I'm really in a place of like accepting people for who they are, for better or for worse. And I think that includes your partner. And I don't think you can force someone to do something that they don't want to do. I would say maybe to make an effort to like meet your partner where they're at. Like, instead of inviting him to things, like ask him what are things that he wants to do. And I think, you know, as much as it's nice to have shared activities that you can do with your partner, if your partner doesn't want to go to the museum or do whatever those things are, like building community and finding the friends that want to do that, I think is really important. I'm of the mind that ultimatums don't work.
Yeah.
Because like, at the end of the day, you have to want to do something. And I think maybe if you can express to him, like, I really like spending time together and I want us to do more of that outside of the house. And like, here's some ways that we can spend time that I'm looking forward to versus you need to do this, because like that doesn't really motivate people to do things.
Yeah. I feel like ultimatums always engender, even if it gets the person to do it, always engenders bitterness.
Yeah.
And some resentment. And resentment.
Also, engenders is a great word. Yeah. Thank you for using it.
Did I say engenders?
You said in
genders?
Engenders.
Oh, I thought I said engender, but I might have said engender.
Well, I liked both versions.
Engenders and engenders.
Engenders.
Yes. Yeah. But even in gen, like, it's just, sorry.
It's
like
a good word. No.
I'm a word person.
I love words.
I do.
Except Amber and I were getting into an argument because I do like to swear a lot. She's like, don't you read? I read like 2 books a week. She's like, don't you read a lot of books? And I'm like, there's a lot of swearing in my books.
Again, you've been given no context, Francesca.
You're reading filth.
Yeah, I'm like, swearing in front of our 1.5-year-old.
Swearing in front of the
child.
Baby who is now picking up language.
She's like, fuck, bitch.
And I'm just like, and I know who she got that from.
They're great
Ben
words.
Because Ben will stub his toe and have to say every word.
Yeah.
But back to the question.
And back to the question.
You answered that so beautifully and so poised.
Oh, thank you.
I'm very excited because I kind of set you up a little bit.
Yeah, she said.
I did set you up a little bit, but you passed with flying colors.
Oh, good. Okay, good.
So we had tons of voicemails in the queue. That one just so happened to be for my mom.
Oh, wow.
So she's talking about my father.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I mean, look.
I was like, Mom, the hotline where she's like, well, I have a real inquiry. I need you to answer. I was like, submit it through.
Oh, yeah, my we're God. Like, we can't answer this seriously. I'm glad like, you, I'm not going to even answer
because
it.
I'm going to be like, Dad, get the fuck up. Go get up and take my mother on a date. She pushed out your three kids. But I needed you to have no context.
That's a great,
Yeah, I mean, look, and the thing is like maybe the things that she's suggesting are things that he doesn't want to do. But like when you give him space to say like, what is the thing that like you really want to do? Maybe he wants to like, I don't know, freaking play paintball or something. It's something that your mom just hasn't suggested and she doesn't know that it's something that he's actually interested in.
We didn't have to pull his leg at all to take him to the Lakers game.
Right.
Right.
He well, my mom, you also said he didn't want to go. You said that he didn't want
to take off work. Remember?
He didn't want to come to L.A.
Yes. But I think once
we got to L.A., he was like, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to be fair, my mom moves a lot. Like she was literally in like St. Croix like 2 days ago. And she's like, I think I'm gonna go to St. Thomas in a week. And I'm like, okay, mom. Like she likes to travel. She likes to do fun things. But she's he does. Girl. I definitely think that he can make an effort if she said like, hey, you need to go to two events a month with me. Like,
yeah.
What I like the part about it being something that interests him because I think that is a little bit of what they're missing. I was so excited that you did it.
Like he likes Family Feud. Maybe he does a live taping of Family Feud.
Oh, he would be obsessed.
Like, you know what I mean? If that's what he's interested in, like meet him where he's at. What are the things that he's watching? Is there, you know, they all often have like those special traveling shows for like Cars or Comic Con or whatever.
He likes stuff like that. He doesn't like to walk around
or like a Family Feud theme bar. He would love a trivia night
at a local restaurant. Like, what are the things he's interested in, and how can you infuse the things that you're interested in so that you can do them together? Or, you know, if it's maybe he doesn't want to go places, do a trivia game night at home and like turn it into an event. Like, let's get dressed up and maybe there's like clues around the house or something. You know what I mean? Like, do something that's like fun and
Francesca's just down for the game.
The producer brain in me is just so strong. Like, I just love, and I think it's maybe the graphic designer too. Like, I just love problem solving and I love being of service. And I like when someone says like, I need help with something and I'm able to like offer them things. Like, I just like, I feel really good about that. And so I think it's so cute that your mom called to support the show.
You're like, I can't be an inquiry.
Yeah, but very serious.
Because she could have easily been like, hey, Amber, man, just so y'all know, here are my notes. And I also think it's really cute that she didn't be like, dude, leave this dude. Because I would have been like, oh.
I should probably tell her. No, I mean, I don't think, this isn't like a serious thing and she has like valid feelings about it, but I don't think this is like a deal breaker. I mean, I would say like, if you're not able to find stuff to do together, like get your girlfriends and y'all go to the shows together and do all those things. Like, you can still be a good partner and not necessarily have all the same common interests. I think it's, again, it's like meeting people where they're at. And sometimes you just realize like, my partner doesn't like these things. I have certain friends that don't like certain things, and I'm not going to try and fit a square peg into a round hole. Like, that's just not who you are, and like, that's okay.
I love that we love different things, because then I'm like, I know Ben hates reality TV.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't have
that's
to
the quickest
deal
way
with,
for her to clear me out of the room.
Yeah. He will see it on and exit.
I'm like a drunken dad at like a Cowboys game. Like, when reality TV comes on, I just start yelling at the screen because they make me so angry.
And
I'm like,
I'm not a reality person either.
I don't understand how people develop these relationships. It makes me mad. I'm like, we are devolving. This is like the worst part of human traits. Anyway. Yeah.
But you need those people, because those people kind of like watch us.
Yeah.
For the same reasons. It's like produced, and it's like, I feel like I'm in the home. And
but I
it's
also
a little
think
heightened.
That's like every art form, right? Yeah. I'm sure like when talking pictures first came out, they're like, talkies, who needs a talkie? Like, I need a silent movie. That's how they talked back then. They're
that's
like,
exactly.
I need a silent film. The world is going to shit.
Or like the YouTube. You're like, why are you making videos on YouTube? You're like, wait for it.
It's every time there's something new, there's going to be somebody who's like, I don't get this thing.
Yes, I will.
You'll concede.
I'll concede.
All right, we have one more question here. I promise this is
not. And you love giving advice, so this is perfect.
Yes, I'm ready.
This is not from a family member of mine. This is a different question. Okay, this one's actually a friendship question because we do like to do romantic, work relationships, all the things. Friendship question coming in hot.
Hey, I'm a 24-year-old Black woman living in the DMV area. I go by she, her, hers pronouns, and I'm calling to get some advice on a friend group, the church friend group. Recently, singer-songwriter Lil Nas X expressed that he was entering his Christian music era. Along with releasing a snippet of a song he's writing, this information made it into the Instagram group chat. People began questioning the post, saying, this is not on my bingo card this year, and God is working on him. Now, I'm someone who would identify as bisexual or somewhere around there. I currently have a boyfriend who obviously knows, but I've never told this specific friend group that I'm bisexual in the fear of how they would react and basically how they're reacting to Lil Nas X. I did speak up in the group chat saying, like, what's wrong with this? And I was met that his answer was mockery and he knows what he's doing. We know that, you know, along with Doja Cat with Paint the Town Red and Sam Smith with Holy, Lil Nas X has made some questionable music and creative choices in his imagery and his music videos. Essentially, I'm asking for advice on how to maintain friendships with homophobic people.
Ooh. Initial thoughts.
Okay, my first thought is I don't think you should have important conversations via text ever. I think if it's an important conversation, especially if it's a relationship that's important to you, it should always be in person or over the phone or over FaceTime. I think text is just way too open to interpretation. I also think one of the hardest parts of growing up is realizing that certain friends are only meant for a season. And I think a lot of times people mistake longevity for or quantity for quality. Like, I've known these people for 15, however many years. And it's like, okay, but if those 20 years have not been great, or if the last 5 years have made you feel like shit, like, those are not people that you should hold on to. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's really hard for people to hear. I would not want to continue to have any sort of relationship, romantic, professional, or platonic, with someone who does not value my personhood. And if these are people that are homophobic, then yeah, they might not be the people who are right to continue to maintain a friendship with. That said, I think there is value in, like, showing your full self to them if you feel like you can do that safely. And again, I wouldn't do it in a group chat. I would say, like, is there a space for us to talk about this? You know, like, hey, I'd really like to talk to you about some of the things that you said about Lil Nas X, because it made me feel uncomfortable and like you were judging him, and, you know, I want to share with you that I'm queer. Or, you know, maybe you're not in a space to share that, but you can say, like, I really think that queer people deserve the same, like, healthy and fulfilled lives that everyone does. And especially as a person who's following God's word, we're supposed to be loving everybody, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we're not supposed to be like passing judgment on other folks. And so, again, it's hard, but I also think that, like, man, I'm saying a lot of contradictory stuff here. It's not necessarily your job to educate people. And, like, if you don't feel like you can take that on, it's okay to let certain relationships, like, change. It doesn't mean that you, like, hate them or love them any less. But, like, your best friends from childhood or your best friends from church cannot be your best friends forever. And that's okay. You're only 24 years old. Like, you have time to meet all sorts of new people who, like, accept and love you for who you are.
Those friend group chats can get so, like, when we're all on the same page, they're super fun.
Right.
And then when we're beefing, it's like, I know these two friends are probably going to text each other on the side. Yeah. And then I'm going to text my good friend from the group on the side. And then you go on the next trip and you're like, what's this tension we're all feeling?
Yeah.
It's so funny when you watch, like, old Star Trek episodes, because I have to relate everything back to Star Trek.
Of course. But
like, they never texted, you know, the future was, we're all going to do video chats. Yeah. Right. And when you read sort of, you know, 1970s, 1960s science fiction, they're always like, and we had a quick, you know, FaceTime call because you can see people's facial expression. Mm-hmm. You can hear their tone. But now no one would have ever predicted that we would just send messages, because that would be going back to the Morse code in a lot of way. Like, you know, and it's funny how that has just shifted that.
That's
now
such
we
a
communicate.
Good point. Very
yeah,
good.
We're just, it's just baffling to me that and we do have serious conversations.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, like,
at first I was like, where are you going with this?
And no, it's really true, because I always watch like the Twilight Zone and things like that, and they'll be like, it's the year 2023. And like, we should be able to freaking jump time, and we should be able to, like, you know, move our bodies across the world and like push a button and, you know, teleport. But instead we're texting.
We've reverted back.
Because we like the like, going back to our internet conversation, we like the nameless, faceless troll. Like, it's so much easier to be like, let me just like share my aggression and have the anonymity of it all. And in a way, texting can kind of do that. Like, I can kind of like, you're like, let me text about, like, LOL. Like, I can pretend like I'm laughing at it or whatever.
Yeah, it doesn't require as much maturity or like stepping out of your comfort zone to text something. Because to your point about, like, you know, FaceTime and video, body language and tone and being able to look in someone's eyes, especially if it's someone that you really care about, and be vulnerable is really, really hard. But to be able to just like fire off a meme or an emoji, or to just, you know, say something passive aggressively, or just say something completely different from how you feel, versus if we're in person, I can get a read for you and I can say, well, something else is going on there. How do you really feel? Why is the Lil Nas X joke that I made getting under your skin versus over text? I don't know how you actually feel about it.
I always think of like this. There's this term, Greek word, miseo. It's like deep, deep, intense hatred. And so I always think about homophobia. There's like, I feel like there's levels of homophobia, right? And you mentioned like you don't want to be around homophobic people. But I'm like, okay, if they're a little homophobic and they're not homo miseo, which is like a term I think I coined. But it's like hatred, like all eventually all homophobia leads to homo miseo, which is like deep rooted hatred, which stems from fear. But there are certain homophobic groups who are just, they're scared because they don't understand in the same way. I would consider it in the same way that my 1.5 year old is scared of doing something, or she's scared of like a person dressed up in a costume. Right. It's like you literally have this looks alien to you. It's different than everything. And those kinds of people you can actually address. So I think for this person, I think sort of gauge like what level is their homophobia? Is it something that is addressed? Has it turned into homo miseo, where they're saying vitriolic hatred, hateful kinds of things? And I think, because I think everybody, like, I always go back and forth, like you said, like we don't owe certain people, but I'm like, then who does? You know what I mean? It's like something I think about a lot, because I do have homophobic people in my life, but I say my homophobic people just for a very specific group of people, and I can't like most of people like in my family. Life.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, and,
and when, like, when I say like you don't owe anyone education, I mean, at the, ultimately, like, yes, people have to learn and grow, but I don't necessarily think that it's like the job of oppressed people to teach people to like validate them and see them as whole humans. I think like in this instance, yes, absolutely. Like talking to your friends could maybe expand their minds, like, because especially because they do have a relationship with you. And maybe if they don't know any queer people and they have a very specific narrow viewpoint of what being queer is, maybe realizing that you're queer might be opening their eyes.
Right.
At the same time, I think that it's like straight people's job to check other straight people.
The allies.
Of course.
The allies.
Yeah.
Of course.
It's your job, because at the end of the day, there are a certain subset of people that are never going to be able to receive the information for someone that they inherently believe are as less than, even if they don't like have it maliciously. They're like, well, the Bible tells me this about these people, and so you're gonna say, you know, that this is okay because you're a deviant, versus if somebody that they really trust and looks like them and has had a similar experience, they might be a little more receptive to being like, oh, okay, wait, you're making me
on the personal level.
On the personal level. And so again, like when I say you don't owe anyone education, I only say that because when we're talking about like issues of identity and things that are, you know, life and death. I'm from South Florida. We have the Don't Say Gay bill. If you are a teacher and they find out that you're queer, you can lose your job, right? If you go into a bathroom and someone thinks that you are not going into the right gendered bathroom, they can call the police on you. So like when you're talking about these things, it can be really painful to say to somebody like, see me as a human, right?
Yeah.
And you're essentially having to like bare your soul and like expose your trauma and like explain to somebody like you're a human deserving of all the same rights. And I'm of the mind that's like, you don't have to do that work. Yeah. Like, right. You're allowed to say like, you
that
know
what? That is a lot of work.
I'm gonna peace out.
Yeah. I'm leaving. Well, there's also, going back to your point about just calling and talking, there's also a potential world. And again, I'm not like, you know your friends better than I do, listener, caller. But there's also a world where you hop on the phone and people are like, one person in the group maybe is like, I'm not homophobic. This song is just bad or whatever. Yeah. I haven't listened to the song.
Right.
But I definitely remember like sometimes I'm like, just because this is not a bop to me doesn't mean I'm homophobic.
Yeah.
Now, if they are definitely saying like, well, why would he be kissing a man on stage? Like, you got your answer.
Right.
But sometimes it's, I think if we like really listen to like what the friend, it's like, you know what? I am not a fan of when a artist is constantly changing who they are.
Right.
And that's why I didn't mess with the song, whether it was Christian or satanic or whatever.
Or Taylor Swift.
And
or just doing things for shock value, which is something that he kind of does.
Exactly. To troll a little bit. So you can never know. I think you
make a really good point there that like, while what the listener shared in the group chat like might have pinged something for her, like at face value, I wouldn't have automatically read that as homophobic.
Right.
I would have just thought, maybe they're thinking he's using Christian imagery in a way that doesn't sit right with my spirit. I feel like it's sacrilegious. I feel like it's disrespectful.
Yeah.
Again, you know your friends better than we do.
Of course.
But that's when talking to somebody matters, because
face to face,
when you've got text, you're reading into it, you're adding, my best friend Delon and I have been saying, you're knitting a sweater, you know, you've got this thing and then you're like,
I had a philosophy professor, I've said this to Amber before, where he's like, I never said I stole the money. And if you put the emphasis on every single different word,
it
means something.
Yeah.
So I never said you stole the money. 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 Right. Every single implication.
I never said you stole the.
Yeah.
Doesn't really make sense, but I tried it.
It is a different version.
It's a different sentence.
Yeah, it's a different sentence. But like literally the same exact sentence has a different meaning every time you say it.
Yes. Right.
Like I implies someone else never did it.
Right.
I never implies that it did not at face value. I never said it means that you implied it.
Yeah.
And then I never said the money implies that you stole something else. So
because I could definitely see myself in the chat saying something like, I felt similarly when Miley Cyrus is changing her outfit every week or whatever. And but I mean,
this is the church friend group, which implies we can assume ill will
sometimes.
It's not the Episcopal church friend group, because the Episcopalians love the gays.
All of them.
Well, I will also
Episcopalians, for the most part.
That's great.
Not the Anglicans. We don't fuck with them.
We don't fuck with them.
I'll also add that like part of adulthood, kind of related back to like the question from your mom about like accepting people for who they are. It's like, if these are friends that you want to keep as friends and you know that there are certain things that you guys do not align with, personally, those are not people that I would be friends with.
Yeah.
But if you know like there are just certain things I cannot talk to this friend about, then like you have to move in that way moving forward.
Yeah.
Like, you maybe don't participate in certain conversations. You don't send them certain videos. When certain things are happening in your life and you need advice, those are not the people that you go to. Yeah. That's who you go to the revival with.
Yes.
You know, that's who, you know, you. I need to borrow a tambourine or whatever. Y'all do.
Whatever the Christians do.
I never lent my tambourine.
I ran out of holy water. You got some.
Exactly. You need a statement hat to borrow. That's who you go to. But when you want to turn up, you know, and when you want to get your entire life to the
new. Which I'm sure they're doing all of that as well.
They probably are doing all of that. They might absolutely be. But if they are getting, you know, their stockings in a twist over Lil Nas X, and again, I don't know what you're relationship was with them, but they might still be people that you really want to keep in your life and you're not ready to let go of, you have to accept some of those things. Like, you're not going to be able to make meaningful gains of like, here's what's really important to me and here's how I feel about this.
You're not going to make meaningful games.
Gay games.
Okay, I'm done. I'm sorry.
Just say what you're talking about.
I'm sorry, Francesca. I interrupted you.
That was beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. and you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
In our last segment of the show, our last segment of the show is called Shelfie. I'll do the...
Ooh, Shelfie.
Oh, that's
okay.
Myself. It's not me singing it,
but
somebody
voice.
Else. Oh, yeah. You know, we know we can do a little note. Friends fail us time and time again. And when there's not friends, there's books. So, Francesca, why don't you tell us what you're reading right now, what's on your shelf, or what you're about to start reading, yeah. And... You take it from there.
Okay, should I show my
please, yeah, please
show,
bring her out.
Show off. I love a good book cover.
Yay.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, so I am slowly reading Burn It Down by Maureen Ryan. She's Mo Ryan on Twitter. We've been Twitter mutuals for years, and she is an investigative journalist who works in film and TV. And she spent about like 5 or 6 years working on this book and doing interviews with different writers and producers and directors in Hollywood, exposing some of the underbelly of things that go on in this industry. The subtitle is Power, Complicity, and the Call for Change in Hollywood. And I will say it's a tough read because every chapter is about a different TV show or a different power player. Like there's a whole chapter about Scott Rudin, who was a really high profile producer who was really abusive to everyone that he worked with, like throwing ashtrays at assistants, not letting people go to the bathroom on set, just like treating people like absolute shit. And what I really enjoy about this book, as difficult as it is to read, is that Maureen is really pushing to envision a more equitable version of Hollywood and sharing voices from people who have had really terrible experiences in the business but are working to make it better. And I really think that we need to offer space for people to share things that have happened to them so that we can like acknowledge that these things do take place and we can work towards change. And it's also making me feel a lot better about the fact that like, kind of like what we were talking about before, knowing that you've shared similar experiences where you're like, oh my God, I've dealt with that asshole in the writer's room.
Definitely.
And I'm not the only person. Like, yeah. This is happening to other people. And especially when it's people who are successful and that you look up to and you're like, holy shit, you have all these Emmys on your shelf and you've still dealt with sexism in the workplace. Like,
it's the Beyonce effect. It's like when we found out, like, Jay-Z was cheating with Becky with the good hair. It's like, Beyonce's being cheated on. Well, what hope is there for everybody else? Or just, Beyonce's being questioned in the workplace?
Yeah.
Well, what? How should I move and navigate?
It's so real.
Validating.
Yeah, it is really, really validating. Like, it's frustrating, but it also gives me hope that, like, when we bring up these concerns in the workplace, we're able to say, I'm not making this up.
Yeah,
it was talked about.
Mo Ryan.
I can tell you,
this legitimizes the experience, which is unfortunate, but it cures like an academic text.
Yeah, and it's also just like speaking truth to power. Like some of the people that are quoted in here are anonymous sources, but there are some people who are like, "This is the first time that I've ever felt safe enough to share these things." And you know what we see so often happens, no matter what type of. Things that we're talking about where people have been mistreated, when someone comes forward, it gives people the encouragement and the safe, you know, space to say like, okay, I feel like I can do this too. So it's really, really powerful. She worked so hard on it. And just the care that she's taken with these stories is really beautiful and inspiring. And, you know, sometimes I have been feeling disillusioned about the industry. And like reading this made me realize like, oh, I'm not making these things up. I'm not imagining them. Like it's a real experience.
Which you've always known, but now you're like,
yeah.
No, I have it. It's tangible now that I know that these feelings that I've been feeling.
I mean, this is true with so many experiences, but so often, especially as like a Black woman, as a queer Black woman, there are times where I'm like, I don't feel comfortable at this, or this made, you know, was not professional or whatever. And people are like, nah. You're imagining it. That didn't happen. What are you talking about? You're being too sensitive. No. It's like, what? I know what I experienced. So reading this has been really eye-opening, but just really validating of like, oh, damn. Like, there are a lot of things in this industry that I want to change, but realizing like, oh, the system is functioning the way that it's supposed to, and it's not my job to change everything. Like, right. I have to just do whatever I can, has, again, been really validating for me as I've been reading this.
I love that. I definitely want to read that as somebody who is like, slowly trying to find their way into this new industry. Like, we just moved to LA about a year and a half ago now. So that'll be good for like the what's coming.
Hopefully we change the shit before.
Well,
I'd rather know a little bit of what's potentially coming.
Yeah, and then, I do think it's good to be prepared to like just know some of the challenges you might face. But my hope is that, again, I'm reading it very slowly because it is a challenging read. But my hope is that by the time that I finish it, we will have continued to make progress. And look, I started reading this like at the beginning of the strike, and then the strike happened and I was like, I can't read this right now. Yeah. And now the strike is over. You know, so like there has been progress. Maybe not as much as I would like, but like we fought very long and very hard and we've made gains. And so similarly, my hope is that when I finish this book, I'll be able to say, oh yeah, that was a thing of the past. We don't do it like that anymore. And thank goodness that Maureen was able to capture it so that we could have a permanent record of it.
I have nothing to add of value. that was so beautiful.
Right? That's a great pitch.
Before we get out of here, Francesca, tell everyone about your podcast, where to find you, and anything you would like to plug.
We're
definitely going to tag Maureen's book in the comments.
Oh,
and,
awesome.
If there's a preferred link she'd like us to use, like directly her website or something, you get that to us. Okay. We will take care of that.
Great. So I have a new podcast with my best friend, DeLon, called Let Me Fix It. Every episode, we review something from the past, a person, a place, a concept, a movie, and then we pitch how we would fix it. And so we've done everything from historical figures like Lizzie Borden. We have an upcoming episode about the fall of Blockbuster. We've done some career stuff. We did Jussie Smollett, which was really fun. It's very proactive. It's very, we love getting suggestions from our audience. And so we've just been having such a great time with it, and the response has been really positive. And I just quit Twitter, so cannot find me there anymore, but I am on TikTok, and I'm on Instagram. Just search for Cheska Lee or Francesca Ramsey.
And Threads? Are you on Threads?
I am reluctantly on Threads. I mean, for me, I'm trying to like lessen how many social media platforms I'm on. Fair. So, you know, people were asking me, are you going to join Blue Sky? Are you going to get on Discord? Are you going to do all these different things? And I was just like, I really don't want more places to like invest my time and energy. I'm trying to do less of that. But I'm launching a Patreon next year, which I'm really, really excited about. I'm going to be asking you for encouragement and advice because I know you're like Patreon queen.
I got you. I got you back. You know that.
Yeah. And there's stuff I can't talk about, but follow me on social media so that when I'm allowed to talk about certain things, I can. You can get updated.
Yes, we know something y'all don't. Francesca, what can I say?
Thank you so much for having me. This is so awesome. Inspiring.
Oh my God. You're like such a mentor.
Yes, oh my God. You've got such a professional setup. And it's, it's wonderful like watching you host. Like, as someone that's like worked as a host and I know how hard it is. And I think for most people, when you are really good, they don't realize how hard it is and how much your brain is having to do like 10 different things, from the doc to the camera to the, you know, the taglines and the segues and all that stuff. It's like been such a delight to get to watch you work. Like, you're really, really talented.
Oh, we gotta go. Just tell me how talented. We got to go now. Everyone, thank you so much for listening to another episode of Fly on the Wallin. Here's your outro music. Go follow Francesca on all the things, and we will see y'all next week for the show. Bye, y'all.
Bye. Bye.
You know they're from TikTok, because those laughs keep you coming, because they're wildin' all the time. Before Wild throws a tantrum, listen to our silly anthem, because they're wildin' all the time. Don't swap while Amber squats and does her dance to please her plants, and Ben reads books while serving looks. Wild is wildin' all the time. Fly, fly, oh to be a fly. Fly.
whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 7. My trip to South Dakota was the best summer ever. Now I don't need to go to Mars because I've been to the Badlands. And I caught a bigger walleye than Dad when we went to the Missouri River. Then I rode my bike through these huge rocks called needles. Ooh, I also saw my first herd of bison, even a fuzzy furry baby one. I can't wait to go back and see more. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.